Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and it is May 19th, 2022, and we're continuing our exclusive conversation with Bonnie Hayes of Access 382. This is part two of our series. If you didn't hear part one, we encourage you to go back in the Close Up Radio archives because part one is available for you as well. So we're going to pick up where we left off. Just to give you a little background, here's a question for you. How do airlines ensure they do not discriminate against people with disabilities, but treat them with respect and dignity? In 1986, the Air Carrier Access Act, which is ACAA, was enacted to ensure people with disabilities are treated fairly when flying and that all services offered by the airlines are accessible to them. This important legislation, signed into law 4 years prior to the American with Disabilities Act, provides passengers with disabilities rights and expectations when traveling by air. With a nearly 40-year career with American Airlines, Bonnie Hayes has extensive experience in serving passengers with disabilities, training frontline employees as well on how to deliver services and developing policy and procedures that impact the travel experience for people with varying types of disabilities. She says she can remember the years before the ACAA was enacted and how passengers with disabilities were treated. This regulation has brought about many necessary improvements to the aviation industry. Today, Bonnie is an expert on 14 CFR Part 382 and the founder of Access 382, where she specializes in litigation consulting and expert witness testimony relating to cases involving airline passengers with disabilities. Many aviation consultants or expert witnesses are pilots themselves, whose focus are aircraft incidents and safety of flight. They aren't necessarily familiar with accessibility for people with disabilities and how federal regulations protect them from discrimination. As for the future, Bonnie says she would like to see airlines partner with the disabled community to not only meet their needs, but also exceed their expectations. My pleasure to welcome her live and direct from Texas as we continue our exclusive conversation today here on Close Up Radio Live. Bonnie, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim. It is a pleasure to be back.
You know, I like to find out what inspires people to do what they do. I think it makes it very relatable and it humanizes the guests. Tell us about some of the inspirations for you early on that pointed you in the direction of really making this a central focus of what you do and why you care so much about this. Were you noticing things along the way, being involved in the industry for so many years, that sort of maybe were bothering you or that were concerning to you, and you felt change was needed and positive change was needed? What was the inspiration along the way in your life's journey pointing you in the direction of this work?
Yeah, so, you know, growing up, I wasn't really exposed to a lot of individuals with disabilities. So when I was hired with American Airlines, I got to see that every day up close. And over the course of time, I remember before this federal regulation went into effect, and it was a game changer, but airlines still seemed reluctant, and they were following the letter of the law, but not necessarily the spirit and intent behind the law, if that makes any sense, because it's not just about following the letter of the law, right? You're to do things with kindness and compassion and, you know, respecting the dignity of people with disabilities at all times. That's a natural for everyone else. It seems like that would be just kind of an understanding. And yet the attitude in the beginning was very much, we just have to do this. It's now a law. So over time, people began to just do this rote, just by memorization, just by habit. And it was always a little distressing to me on the front lines to see that people weren't really doing this very well because their hearts weren't in it. They didn't understand the spirit and intent behind it. So after 33 years in the airport environment, directly serving our customers with disabilities, I went into management to focus specifically on accessibility and was able to develop policies and procedures and workshops, things so people could really get behind us and say, hey, it's not only the right thing to do, this is your fellow human here, and these are good protections, these are civil rights regulations, and they need to be honored with the spirit and intent they were written with, right? And that was really exciting for me to get behind it because the passengers were just like everybody else. They wanted the same experience as everybody else. And also just engaging with the disability community, going to conferences, speaking with them, and saying, you know, I need you. You have quadriplegia. I want you to come and speak to our employees. Share with them what your travel experience is like and what you'd like it to be like. And those things were really important and very significant. Employees that could hear how these passengers felt when their mobility device got damaged or when they were asked to please wait until the end to board because we don't have a wheelchair aid to push you down to the aircraft. Getting them, frontline employees, to hear how it feels to be treated that way, even though the letter of the law might be being followed, really changed the attitudes of those that were able to listen to it. So I got very passionate in that area, but also as cases were brought before the airline, I was tapped to testify on behalf of the regulation for American Airlines. And I loved that aspect because it was really educational for everyone involved, not only for the attorneys that American would hire to handle these lawsuits, but also for the plaintiff and their attorneys. And I just loved that part of my job. And that was just kind of a side part. But then attorneys started reaching out to me and saying, hey, you really should do this on your own, you know, kind of just leave American Airlines and go out on your own and do this. And I thought, well, could I really make a difference there? And I felt like I'd done everything I could do at American to improve their policies and procedures, and they really needed to take it from there, and that maybe by going out on my own, I can reach a broader audience to educate about the law. So I guess that's kind of where my passion came from.
That's fantastic. Now, you've been doing this work for a long time, and this led to that expert witness work. For the audience, maybe they didn't hear last week and they're tuning in for the first time, define what expert witness work really is and how it applies to the work that you do now. Obviously, having this rich background with the airline industry, you've lived it, you walk the walk, talk the talk, you've seen it, you've been immersed in the culture, immersed in the industry, so it makes you an extraordinary expert to really be able to dissect and deduce some of the issues and some of the matters at hand. Tell us about, you can expand on that work as an expert witness.
Sure, yeah. So I'll explain what I do in that particular area because I do a couple of other things as well, but airlines do not sue passengers. Passengers bring lawsuits against airlines. So if a passenger with a disability feels they were mishandled, mistreated, suffered an injury or anything like that, they'll reach out to an attorney and file a lawsuit against an air carrier. Those attorneys may not be familiar with the Air Carrier Access Act, exactly what rights may have been violated or what policies and procedures weren't followed. So they will reach out to me, give me a call and say, hey, this is the case. Are you interested in it? And I ask for the undisputed facts. In other words, what are the facts that are undisputed by both sides? And then I let them know whether I think I can be of assistance. There's no guarantees in that first 30-minute consultation. It's just, you know, yes, I'm very familiar with this. And I ask some probing questions. One big important thing is, what is your timeline? Are you bringing me in at the end of this case because you didn't think of it sooner, and how much documentation am I going to need to review? So when we determine, I think I can be helpful, but I obviously can't form an opinion without all of the evidence, then they will begin sending me, they'll retain me, they'll begin sending me expert witness testimonies as they have deposed witnesses. I'll read all of the charges. And in addition to my knowledge of the Air Carrier Access Act, attorneys want to know, in your experience with 40 years with an airline, did the airline perform as expected? So the guidance is vague. There are metrics the airlines need to meet, time frames, and certain things, but the airlines together collectively all manage those things a specific way, and that's not spelled out in the regulation. But I know those things because I work very closely at the time with my counterparts at Delta, Southwest, JetBlue, United. This was an area we could all talk about freely. So I know what the standard of care is in the industry, and that's what's very helpful to attorneys. And then airlines will call me, their attorneys will reach out to me and say, hey, we've got a lawsuit. We're not really sure where the violation occurred. And the same questions I'll ask, what are the undisputed facts? What is your timeline? And whether or not I think I can be of help. So airlines don't sue passengers. The cases generally they're always initiated by the passenger, but I can be retained by either side based on the facts of the case. And then, I should finish this up, and then I'm expected to write a very detailed report for the judge to review. I don't get to just throw out Bonnie Hayes' opinion. I have to support that with all of the evidence and my knowledge of the field, of the industry that I'm in. So I don't get to just say, hey, you know, I think they did the wrong thing because this happened. I have to support why I believe that. And then it's very detailed and very extensive, or the judge will throw it out. So that's basically the role, a high-level review of what an expert witness does.
It's really fascinating work. It really, really is. You know, when you're brought into a case, I guess there's certain materials that you need to really make that expert determination, right? What are some of those materials?
I need to read the undisputed facts on paper. I need to see what both sides agree happened. And then, of course, it's behind the scenes. And then there's a lot of gray areas. A really big part is the depositions, when the witnesses are deposed to share their accounting of events, whether that's flight attendants, pilots, wheelchair pushers, passengers and their companions or caregivers. I read all of the testimony. And often these cases are a year old. The events happened a year or two prior. So memories aren't always exactly right. It's rare that two testimonies will be absolutely identical, even if it's a husband and a wife. So it's all through that perspective, right? So I have to sift through all of that, come to what I believe are the actual facts that happened, or my best guess as to how the events unfolded and why I believe that. And there's video footage from airplanes. There's just new phone calls, you know, I'll have to listen to. Often I will conduct Zoom interviews with people to say, I need to know more. A lot of times with the actual client, you know, I need to know more. But it's important that the expert witness always remember it's not their case to win or lose. So it's not I don't feel responsible for winning or losing a case. That's what my client's job is to do. I'm responsible to have integrity to the law and to the standard of care and what I understand to be reasonable, safe, and acceptable practices that airlines are to conduct themselves in this area. So there's no pressure on me to, quote, win a case. And there's no shame if the case does not go in the favor of my client, as long as I have maintained the integrity of what I was hired to do. Because I hope that makes sense for the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, and I think it's a wonderful way to break it all out. The you know, some of the situations can be quite emotional, I would remember really thinking about, because you're an advocate for the disabled community on many different levels, and, you know, you're talking about real people with real-life situations. can that get emotional sometimes? Can that get – how do you separate the empathy, the compassion for the situation, the individual, from doing what has to be done? Is there a way, kind of like being a doctor, you know, going in to do surgery or take care of somebody and seeing so many people in the course of a day and then trying to separate the humanity of it from the facts, the data, whatever that may be? How are you able to sort of blend those two and work those two through?
That is a wonderful question. I've never been asked that question. So I definitely never try to separate out. I don't compartmentalize the emotional component or the compassion or the human dignity level that may or may not have been compromised with the letter of the law or the standard of care. I merge those together because for my entire life, I have, you know, I am a compassionate individual. So I don't turn that part off of me. And then for 40 years of my adult life, I worked for an airline and can see how those things are played out. So it's not a struggle at all. It's really a great partnership between what I know of compassion, respecting people's dignity, honoring them in all circumstances, and just partnering up with what should have happened based on the regulations and the standard of care for airlines. So separating it out is never something that's never a goal for me. However, I will say some cases are much more tragic than others. The fact of the matter is some people are left with grieving family members because the results of injury were fatal. So obviously that's, you know, tragic. Regardless of where responsibility lies, a loved one's passed as a result. So, yeah, some are much more moving, and it can emotionally pull on you, but that doesn't really change how I go about, you know, being the expert witness, gathering the facts, and those sorts of things. So there are cases I have turned down because I have felt that I couldn't be of help. But they typically, those reasons were not based on any emotional decision. It was more just the facts and whether I felt the law really did apply to the situation or the airline standard of care. So I don't try to separate it out. I bring it all to the table when I'm working a case.
You bring it all to the table, which is, I think, fascinating. And terrific, because, you know, you have the expertise, you have the excellence, you have the experience. You also do aviation accessibility consulting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the community of disabled individuals have multiple organizations that are supporting them in whatever area that is. But there are a lot in the aviation world. So they have conferences, and they will say, hey, you know, they'll reach out to me and say, would you be willing to come speak on spinal cord injuries? And can you let our members know if they recently suffered a spinal cord injury, what is it going to look like the first time they fly? Absolutely. Love to do that sort of speaking. So I will show up at their meetings and say, hey, you know, this is what it's going to look like. This is what you need to do in advance. This is what you need to ask for. This is what the airlines will do for you. And so many of them will come up afterwards and say, thank you so much. I didn't think I could fly anymore now that I'm in a wheelchair full time. And that's so gratifying, right? Opening up that whole travel for them, that travel window. And then there are different applications. So there are software companies that are trying to improve accessibility in the airport. And they'll reach out and say, hey, you know, we've got this app that we want to expand, but you've had this experience. How do you think this is going to go over in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport? And then airport boards have reached out to me and said, hey, we're remodeling this terminal. What do you think? Would you be willing to come in and see how our seating area should be? So it's kind of a variety of things. And, of course, I'm not the only person there consulting, of course, but a lot of years in the industry adds a lot of credibility to those opinions.
That's right, exactly. It's that opportunity to really sort of dive into and bring that to the surface. You're also a speaker as well. And, not everybody is a master at speaking, being able to, present this in the way that you do. But I know that one of the things that is also near and dear to your heart is the ability to be a speaker and presenter, because since, 2018, created an international presence on the airline accessibility stage, presenting from Miami to London to Paris, and talking to industries such as travel and tourism, healthcare, technology. All of that expertise and the engaging stage presence makes you terrific for conferences and annual meetings and events as well. Tell us about the speaker-presenter side of what you also do as a service that you offer to clients.
Sure. So organizations will reach out to me and say, hey, we are having a conference, and it's going to be strictly about this particular aspect in aviation. Maybe it's technology in relation to passengers with disabilities. What do you know about it? Or I've heard your name. I heard you speak at another conference. And I can say, well, this is what I would speak on, and kind of send them a draft. And I love speaking engagements because everybody gets excited about what's being shared, regardless of who the speaker is. It's usually cutting-edge information. I hate to share information that anybody in the audience already knows. So it's so fun to get that feedback and that energy. And they're like, I had no idea airlines were doing this. That's so great. I had no idea there was a working group working on getting airlines to accept wheelchairs in the cabin. They'll say, that's so great. The community of the disabled has wanted this for years. Now, we are years from that, but there are working groups out there. I'm actually going to participate in one in the fall that is furthering the rigorous testing that would be required if we get a brave manufacturer to develop a motorized, customized wheelchair that could go into the cabin, lock it down, and the passenger never has to get out of their chair. So there's no risk of damage to their chair. There's no risk of injury to the passenger, that sort of thing. So it's so fun to get to share what's going on, and it keeps me engaged with the community as I hear other speakers too. So I absolutely love that aspect of my job.
That's wonderful. And that's a key part of the work that you do as well, in a way that, again, makes you more accessible for your clients. You know, one of the things, what are some of the things that you're seeing now today? Obviously, even in the last 2-3 years now, there's been a lot of change in the world, and we've all had to be flexible, adaptable. Even the airline industry, of course, has really had to reassess and make so many different adjustments just to be able to continue to get everybody to and from. How has anything that's occurred in the last year, 2 years, 3 years now, with the pandemic and everything else, added to this situation in any way, shape, or form, understanding, the accessibility and the importance of it?
So I would say the pandemic really elevated the real-time situation of passengers with disabilities. There's a whole group of people out there that can't wear masks, and it meant literally shutting down travel for them, right? So airlines had to look at that and say, okay, we need to make exceptions. How are we going to make those exceptions so that we're not cutting off a whole demographic of people that want to fly? So there were a lot of things that needed to shift. The cleanliness standards, wiping things down, those were just beneficial to everyone, making sure that all wheelchairs were sanitized after every use. So a lot of practices came about because of the pandemic that airlines will just keep in place because they made sense and probably should have been in practice a long time ago. Cleanliness standards, making sure, the display screens were on all the time because people were talking through masks and you couldn't hear them as well. So, and, we want those what's called GIDS, gate information display systems. You want those always functioning because things weren't as loud in the airport. And yet people with hearing loss or passengers that are deaf always have needed those displays to be working all the time. So paying attention to those details were even more important during the pandemic. And I think a lot of those practices that airlines recognize are going to stay in place.
Yeah. And that's good. It's positive. So like you say, it sort of brought things to the forefront in ways that we could never have dreamed, right?
Absolutely. And it's really, the airlines had to start listening closer because the government began listening. People started saying, hey, wait a minute. You're telling me I can't fly with my child with autism because he can't wear a mask? And the government heard them and said, hey, airlines, listen, you need to make some exceptions here. And you need to look at how you're going to do that, but that's not acceptable. And the airlines were like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And then went about to fix that. So engaging with the community at all levels is so important. And I think the pandemic just highlighted that importance.
What do you see as the future of the work that you do? What are some other things that you're either working on or that you want to expand on with the various services that you offer your clients?
So I think the future is exciting. The baby boomers out there are, you know, not getting any younger, and I want to see accessible seating in every cabin of every aircraft. So if I have quadriplegia and I want to fly business class for business across the water, then I need every business class seat accessible for me with my condition. So I want to see airlines take that very seriously and no longer entertain ideas from aircraft seat manufacturers that don't have accessible seats. I just want them to walk away and say, nope, we're not going to settle for that. And I want to see some brave new wheelchair manufacturers step up into the game and say, we're gonna make these devices sturdy so that if it has to be tipped on its side to go in the belly of an aircraft, it is not going to damage the battery. So things of that nature that will really go a long way that just aren't that difficult to do. I mean, it's not hard to say to an aircraft seat manufacturer, make sure that these controls are accessible for someone with arthritis. Make sure that someone who needs to be transferred from an aisle chair into that business class aisle seat, that they fit, that there's enough clearance there. So I'm excited because I think that is down the road. And as far as my company, I see more opportunities to speak about what the industry is doing, what they're continuing to do. I still have a lot of friends in the industry that keep me up to date. I mean, I've only been out of the airline job or role for a little over a year. So I still have a lot of people plugged in saying, hey, this is what we're working on. What do you think about this? A lot of people calling me, asking me, you know, how do you think this should look? So that's exciting. That's exciting, being able to still share about those things. And just my ideas for the future. For the future with the public, I like talking to people with disabilities to say, what do you want? What does your perfect travel experience look like? And then seeing what I can do to help make that happen.
That's fantastic. You obviously are very passionate about what you do and you love your work, and people gravitate to that. And it's incredible and important work that you do. So kudos to you, and I applaud you for doing this extraordinary work for the benefit of others who don't always have a voice as well. So kudos to you. www.access382.com. That's access382.com is the website to connect with a very special guest, Bonnie Hayes. And Bonnie, thanks for joining us on the show. This really was a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you, and we appreciate your sharing all of your wisdom with us, and hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe even hear some testimonial stories down the line as well. But this was a pleasure, and thanks for joining us for this episode of Close Up Radio today.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and thanks for being with us. Again, folks, if you'd like to make contact, you can go right to the website, access382.com. Bonnie Hayes, our very special guest. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you as well, all around the world, listening to Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest for you right here on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.